Extract number 1. Read the questions.
Ken Hom was born in Arizona in the US in 1949 to Chinese parents. His father died when he was just 8 months old, and so his mother, who spoke no English, moved to Chicago, where she had relatives who could find her work.
I could only speak Cantonese, and luckily I was in Chinatown, so I mean, I was enveloped by a Chinese community and relatives who I've never met before. And then, of course, I had to go to school. And, of course, when you're in school, you learn very, very fast because, you know, when you're young, you can adjust really quickly. You'd be surprised how fast you learn. I always had the pleasure of bringing lunch that my mom made. It was a sort of a Chinese meal in a thermos. And Chicago was very cold in the winter. And everybody had all these cold sandwiches. And I would open my thermos and all this warm, you know, home cooked food would waffle through the the rest of the classroom.
You were just 11 when you started working in your Uncle Paul's restaurant. Did you enjoy the work?
I hated it because there were 12 to 15 hour days. And what saved me was that I had a transistor radio where I listened to music at that time. Music from Motown was very big. That really saved me.
In the early 1970s, Ken Hom moved to California to study the history of art. So he started teaching cookery classes.
I think I really learned to cook in the restaurant because I had never watched my mom cook. What I eventually liked about food, it was a reflection on my culture.
Ken's classes were so popular that he was soon teaching at a school for professional chefs and packed in his studies to focus on food. A first cookbook followed and coverage in the national press. So with his career in the US beginning to take off, he was surprised when a BBC television producer asked him to fly to London to audition for a cookery show.
I thought, okay, I would do it just for the experience.
Shortly after the audition, Ken was offered his own TV series and the opportunity to write a book to accompany it. In the UK, Chinese cooking was not yet common.
I had no idea of how it would be. The book that came with the series had a first printing of 350,000 copies. At that time, it was the biggest nonfiction book print ever in UK publishing history.
Ken Hom has now written dozens of cookbooks, presented a further 4 TV series, developed recipes for airlines and ready meals for supermarkets, and cooked for presidents, prime ministers, and royalty. Thanks for listening, and join us again for The Food Chain next week.
Now, listen again.
Ken Hom was born in Arizona in the US in 1949 to Chinese parents. His father died when he was just 8 months old. And so his mother, who spoke no English, moved to Chicago, where she had relatives who could find her work.
I could only speak Cantonese. And luckily, I was in Chinatown, so, I mean, I was enveloped by a Chinese community and relatives who I've never met before. And then, of course, I had to go to school. And, of course, when you're in school, you learn very, very fast because, you know, when you're young, you can adjust really quickly. You'd be surprised how fast you learn. I always had the pleasure of bringing lunch that my mom made. It was a sort of a Chinese meal in a thermos. And Chicago was very cold in the winter. And everybody had all these cold sandwiches. And I would open my thermos and all this warm, you know, home-cooked food would waffle through the the rest of the classroom.
You were just 11 when you started working in your Uncle Paul's restaurant. Did you enjoy the work?
I hated it because there were 12 to 15-hour days. And what saved me was that I had a transistor radio where I listened to music at that time. Music from Motown was very big. That really saved me.
In the early 1970s, Ken Hom moved to California to study the history of art. So he started teaching cookery classes.
I think I really learned to cook in the restaurant because I had never watched my mom cook. What I eventually liked about food, it was a reflection on my culture.
Ken's classes were so popular that he was soon teaching at a school for professional chefs and packed in his studies to focus on food. A first cookbook followed and coverage in the national press. So with his career in the US beginning to take off, he was surprised when a BBC television producer asked him to fly to London to audition for a cookery show.
I thought, okay, I would do it just for the experience.
Shortly after the audition, Ken was offered his own TV series and the opportunity to write a book to accompany it. In the UK, Chinese cooking was not yet common.
I had no idea of how it would be. The book that came with the series had a first printing of 350,000 copies. At that time, it was the biggest non-fiction book print ever in UK publishing history.
Ken Hom has now written dozens of cookbooks, presented a further 4 TV series, developed recipes for airlines and ready meals for supermarkets, and cooked for presidents, prime ministers, and royalty. Thanks for listening, and join us again for The Food Chain next week.
Extract number 2. Read the questions.
Buenos dias.
Oh, buenos dias.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Reina was born in Mexico, but she lives in Sacramento, California. Like me, she's an author, and I'm delighted to see she's got a huge bookcase behind her.
How many books have you had out now?
I have 5 books out, and then I have 2 books coming out next year.
Poverty forced Reina's parents to leave her and her 2 siblings behind in Mexico and seek work in the US while Reina was still very young. And it's in California where Reina's story really begins.
Yeah, I started school when I was 10. In the US, I started in the 5th grade.
So you'd been speaking primarily Spanish up until this point, right?
Yes.
Did you have any English?
No, not at all.
Okay, wow. Tell me about that. How did that go down?
Yeah, that was extremely difficult. And unfortunately, my local school didn't have any bilingual programs or resources for immigrant children. So what they had was the sink or swim method, which is when they just throw you into an English-only classroom without any help. And that was very difficult because that added to the traumas that I already was dealing with as an immigrant child, being in a classroom where I didn't speak the language, where I couldn't communicate with my teacher. She just put me in a corner of her classroom and ignored me for the whole year. It really affected me emotionally and psychologically. And as long as I speak Spanish, I'm gonna remain invisible and voiceless. So the way I was forced to learn English was through shame.
But eventually, things started to make sense.
It got easier because my junior high school did have a English as a second language program. I became so focused on learning English that I completely neglected my Spanish. So by the time I was in high school, English became my dominant language. And my Spanish stayed at the same level that I had spoken Spanish in Mexico. I did not develop any more reading or writing skills in Spanish once I got to the United States.
Now, listen again.
Buenos dias.
Oh, buenos dias.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Reina was born in Mexico, but she lives in Sacramento, California. Like me, she's an author, and I'm delighted to see she's got a huge bookcase behind her.
How many books have you had out now?
I have 5 books out. And then I have 2 books coming out next year.
Poverty forced Reina's parents to leave her and her 2 siblings behind in Mexico and seek work in the US while Reina was still very young. And it's in California where Reina's story really begins.
Yeah, I started school when I was 10. In the US, I started in the 5th grade.
So you'd been speaking primarily Spanish up until this point, right?
Yes.
Did you have any English?
No, not at all.
Okay, wow. Tell me about that. How did that go down?
Yeah, that was extremely difficult. And unfortunately, my local school didn't have any bilingual programs or resources for immigrant children. So what they had was the sink or swim method, which is when they just throw you into an English-only classroom without any help. And that was very difficult because that added to the traumas that I already was dealing with as an immigrant child, being in a classroom where I didn't speak the language, where I couldn't communicate with my teacher. She just put me in a corner of her classroom and ignored me for the whole year. It really affected me emotionally and psychologically. And as long as I speak Spanish, I'm gonna remain invisible and voiceless. So the way I was forced to learn English was through shame.
But eventually, things started to make sense.
It got easier because my junior high school did have a English as a second language program. I became so focused on learning English that I completely neglected my Spanish. So by the time I was in high school, English became my dominant language. And my Spanish stayed at the same level that I had spoken Spanish in Mexico. I did not develop any more reading or writing skills in Spanish once I got to the United States.
That is the end of part one.